I can honestly say that's the best news I've heard all day.
Joe Torty Show.
Kind of reminded me of a dark, gothic Neil Diamond.
That's like exactly what I'm going for.
This is the Joe Torty Show.
What show are you listening to?
Joe Torty Show.
I'm trying to be patient, but you're making it incredibly difficult.
I can say big loud things. I can be dramatic with him.
We just end this already.
Now it's time. The Joe Torty Show.
What's going on, everybody? Joe Torty, 97.5, The Fanatic. Hanging out with you until 10 o'clock today. Tyler Zuli is producing. Tyler's in the house. And we are, what is this, day 18 of the quarantine? Is that what this is? Day 18 of the quarantine. I have been pretty miserable to have been around the last couple of days because I'm, well, what's that condition? Getting old? Like, or at least older than, you know, I used to be. I was thinking about this on the way in. And it's one of the things that I feared. My biggest benefit so far in the quarantine, and the thing that I have, I wouldn't say enjoyed the most, but the thing that I've considered myself fortunate for, is the way that I stay sane is by, like, working out. And I have a the home gym set up in the basement or whatever, so my routine has not been interrupted all that much by the quarantine. I haven't been trying to go to a closed gym or anything like that. But unfortunately, or whatever, you know, getting old, I guess it doesn't luck. It's not always luck. Walking down the stairs or something like that, not sure. Small knee tweak a couple of days ago. So I've been, you know, resting and rehabbing and trying to make sure that I can get back into the gym as soon as possible, because now I'm just like you. The thing that was keeping me hanging on by a thread during the 2+ weeks of quarantine has been taken away for the last 2 days. And just ask my family, my parents, everyone that I've kind of come in contact with over the last 2 days. I have not been the best person to be around right now. And it did get me thinking, got me wondering, because I know that there are a lot of people who are handling this in a lot of different ways, right? There are some people that are literally watching everything on the internet. You know, Netflix, Disney Plus, you know, Stars, HBO, like whatever there is for you. There are some people that are just literally consuming as much content as they possibly can. And I totally get that. There are some people that are taking a lot more walks, that are going outside with their, you know, well, I've seen more dogs, I think, walking around in the last 3 weeks or something than it's been a long time. And Tyler, I know that you mentioned that as well. But it did get me thinking. You know, besides the fact that I'm just generally not handling things well and that I'm a big crybaby anytime that I get hurt or I get sick, I just get super grumpy and moody and stuff. We all have something that's kind of getting us through the quarantine, especially, I mean, we would think that being locked in and just watching sports would, you know, kind of take off a big stressor and be a big stress reliever for us. But obviously that's taken away as well at this point. If there were something that, you know, you've been using to get through, and there's been something that you've been kind of using as a crutch during quarantine, if it were taken away and would make it difficult for you to get through, what would it be? See, for me, I look at it, and obviously experiencing the traumatic slight knee injury, the slight knee twist or tweak or whatever it was, it's put me in a mood where it's like, hey, if I can't get in my 45 minutes, you know, working out, just slowly descend into madness. I was thinking about it. What could you do the quarantine without the internet? Could you do it without TV? Could you do it without going outside? What is it? What would absolutely take you off of your game? Now, Tyler, I know that you've been actually getting a little bit creative in terms of filling time, because I haven't pegged you for any like one thing that you're doing. So I would argue that for the purposes of this exercise, you're probably in better shape than any of us, because your tastes during the quarantine have been a little bit more varied than the average bear.
Yeah, the one thing that I have been able to stay in the home gym, I have one like yourself, so that's helped a ton. I feel like I've been able to dedicate a little bit more time to it, because commute time is down, and You know, watching sports time is obviously down as well. So that's one of them. I've been kind of catching up on a lot of the stuff that, like, I'm a big movie fan, but I don't watch a lot of shows because I don't have time to dedicate to shows.
Right.
So I'm starting to catch up a little bit more on the actual show side of things, which has been great. And then, you know, just playing a little bit more video games. That's really all. Uh-huh. That's what it comes down to at this point.
So here's my general beef with TV shows as he invites, like, death upon himself. But here's the hear me out. Because I bet that you can relate to this on some level, regardless, right? Regardless of whether a TV show is your favorite piece of entertainment medium or whatever, I have found this. It's not that... All right, let's knock out, like superhero shows and stuff like that where there's, like, comic book source material. Let's knock out, you know, TV shows that are based on books or movies or whatever. I'm talking about original content, stuff that is originally a TV show. I've run into this problem anytime that I've tried to earnestly get into a television show. The object of the show is to stretch into however many episodes and for the show to go on forever. So one of the shows that I approve of that goes against this rule, not sure everybody's seen it, but it's what I would call the adult cartoon Archer. Not adult as in, like, you know, triple X. It's just, you know, not intended for a younger audience. But the creators of Archer, after a couple of seasons, it's about a spy agency and the hijinks of the people that are employed at the spy agency. But after a couple of seasons, the writers were like, there are no more good spy stories for us to tell, so we're literally just switching the premise of the story to something else. It's going to be all the same characters or whatever, but they all do a different role. As opposed to pretty much any other, like, TV show that I've watched. I find that, like, for example, especially if they're, like, a 20-episode season TV show, oh, we got to find a way to make this thing stretch to 8, 9, 10 seasons. It just gets watered down and diluted, and not a whole lot gets done. You know, they hook you with, like, the pilot, and then after that, it's like, I don't know about that. Like, I feel like you get a lot of diluted episodes after that. That's why, you know, it's a battle that I fight with people often, but that's why it's hard for me to say that TV shows are amazing unless there's, like, a plotted out plan with a beginning, a middle, and an end, and it's not just like, hey, we're trying to stretch this thing out. By the way, good on Ed Cox for calling this to our attention. The keyword is new, as in not old, N-E-W. That is the keyword, is new, for the Fanatic 500 Fast Cash Contest. Okay. Let's keep it in the realm of television for a second, because there's a reason that we started here. And it's because the most interesting, probably not the most hard-hitting, but the most interesting bit of news that has come out of the NFL today is that the NFL will be moving to a new channel, at least temporarily. Nickelodeon is going to be getting a 2020 wild card playoff game. So as a lot of people know, NFL owners approved an expansion of the playoffs to include 14 teams. So there's 7 playoff teams from each conference, including wild card teams. The number 2 seed in each conference will no longer receive a bye and instead will host the 7 seed. So you get those 2-7 matchups, right? The league announced that NBC and CBS would broadcast the additional wildcard games. NFL wildcard weekend will include 3 games on Sunday, January 9th, and another 3 games on Sunday, January 10th. In addition to the CBS extra broadcast on January 9th, the NFL noted a separately produced telecast of the game will air on Nickelodeon, tailored for a younger audience. And Tyrone Johnson, who does an awesome job, as you guys know, on the Mike Missinelli Show, hit exactly my concern on the head when it comes to this. It's, what if there's some kind of Joe Theismann injury. Like, the idea is that you're trying to make the NFL more accessible for a younger audience. By the way, this should tell you, if you were part of the NFL is invincible crowd, which I am not quite there. There are people that say that there's nothing that can take down the NFL. There are people that I've talked to who would know. People on the league side, people on the team sides. There are people that I've talked to that said that the league is deeply concerned about declining youth participation in the NFL or in football, generally speaking, and therefore creating interest in the product and also, you know, college football and eventually NFL players, perhaps. The league is very concerned about declining youth participation. And if you want to, like, brush that off, there is literally no reason or explanation why the league would be interested in showing a game on Nickelodeon if that were not the case. Yeah, I know it just sounds kind of silly because we're all picturing, like, Squidward and SpongeBob SquarePants commentating the game. But just think about that. If you're in the, like, NFL is unbeatable camp, and it's just an unstoppable freight train that keeps on rolling, and they're not worried about declining football interest among the youth, there's no reason for them to have this game on Nickelodeon other than that. I also thought it was interesting, the other thing that came out of the NFL today, that the expectation is that the 2020 NFL season will continue as scheduled, or will begin as scheduled, with fans in the stands. This story's on NFL.com. ESPN had it as well, and a couple of other places. But Jeff Pasch, the NFL's executive vice president and general counsel, said that the league's medical executives have been shown models of the course of the pandemic in other countries and how different interventions have been effective. And since the start of the NFL season is so relatively far away, they believe that it will give them the flexibility and the ability to start the season on time and on target when it comes to the fans. This is the quote from Pasch. All of our discussion, all of our focus has been on a normal traditional season, starting on time, playing in front of fans in our regular stadiums, and going through a full 16-game regular season and a full set of playoffs. That's our focus. So that's our expectation. Am I certain of that? I'm not certain I'll be here tomorrow, but I'm planning on it. And in the same way, we're planning on having a full season. I know that a lot of people are going to look at this and think that it's ridiculous. I actually don't. And here's why. People have pointed to, and Kurt, we're going to get to you to lead things off in a second here. People have pointed to the NBA as being at the forefront or being leaders when it comes to how this whole thing has been handled. Whether it's, you know, the quarantine procedures or playing games that aren't in front of fans to canceling the season. For a lot of this, the NBA has been in the spotlight for leading this way. There also has to be a leader at some point going the other way, resuming and getting back into the swing of things. And the NFL, I would argue, is uniquely positioned, way better positioned than the NBA with like an interruption in the middle of the regular season or closer to the end, but still during the regular season with playoffs still ahead. With the NHL, rather, having just a small number of hockey games left before the playoffs start, Major League Baseball, who is absolutely, I would argue, at the worst possible timing in the sports calendar when it comes to this, because everything's just getting pushed back and there's no indication on what a Major League Baseball season will look like. The NFL is in position where their official take here at the end of March, beginning of April, can be that we're going to start on time and on target, and any kind of adjustments that they would make still result in NFL games being played pretty much on time. Now, off-season training programs, mini camps, stuff like that, all of it in person is at risk. However, the best teams innovate and the best teams adapt. There are going to be some dinosaur teams, not all of them, but there are going to be some dinosaur teams that don't take full advantage of what the options are now for the NFL teams. And they're just going to throw their hands up and talk about how unfair it is and, you know, how the draft shouldn't even be happening right now and how, you know, the season should be pushed back and everybody should have time to do this. And then there are going to be some teams that understand that these are the cards that we've all been dealt at this point. And you've got to do your best to make the best of it, just like, you know, the other way at the beginning of the quarantine. You know, not quote unquote ready to return, that's not really an option. Does not shock me at all that the NFL has this look, this ability to kind of dictate the terms of what's going to happen in the future. Now, things could change. And obviously the trajectory of this thing, we still have very little information with respect to how it is going in the United States and what it looks like longer term, right? But people looking at it like this is insanely optimistic and, you know, this is something that's not going to be likely. It's possible that it's not likely that the fans will be in attendance, but I have the utmost confidence that the league season will begin on time. And also, I do believe that the NFL will take a risk-reward measure of this. Is it to say that if fans are invited to games that it's going to be packed stadiums and it's going to be, you know, everybody within 2 feet of each other and they're everybody's slobbering and drooling and sweating all over each other? I think that the NFL is smarter than that. But I do think there has to be a step one. I think there has to be a beginning part of this. And it would not shock me in the least to see the NFL be at the forefront and the leadership position of getting things back to normal whenever that's going to be. 610-632-0975. Let's lead things off with Kurt in the Poconos on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's going on, Kurt?
Hey, man.
How you doing?
Great. I just want to share with a great respite I had this weekend.
Okay.
From the doldrum. So I was flipping through the channels Sunday, and I came across the gold medal round between the girls' hockey team, Olympic, with Canada.
Yes.
And I didn't remember who won. And it was right in the middle of OT, sudden death, and I'm like biting my nails. It was like I was watching a real game. And then he went to the shootout, and they went through the first five rounds, and then, you know, they finally won it, but I had no idea who won. It was like watching a live game.
Fantastic. That's the best part, Kurt. You have to watch games where you don't know what happens, because then it's almost like you're watching a live game.
Dude, my heart rate was fluttering. I was so, like, on pins. You know how it is, Game 7 Stanley Cup, this is the same thing for the gold medal, man.
Absolutely. So have you been able to do that with, was that just an accident? It just happened to be on?
Total accident. And they were right. Thank God I didn't have to go through the whole game. I would have had a heart attack. It was right in the middle of OT. And then they went to the shootout. So that was really cool, man.
Fantastic, man. Hey, Kurt, that's great. Everybody on your end doing okay up there in the
Poconos?
I'm up in
the Poconos. We got wide open spaces. We're good, man.
Beautiful, beautiful. Stay well, man. Appreciate the phone call. That's good stuff. I was thinking about that. I was thinking about looking and finding, I've got to admit, like, recent games do nothing for me. Like, I thought about trying to watch the Rams-Chiefs Monday Night Football game, which is one of the most entertaining games that I can remember watching in recent memory. And the drama's gone. Like, the fun of watching it, and when I was watching that game, I had, you know, full disclosure, just my day's probably different than a couple other people's. I was at NFL Films watching the matchup show, like, highlight how big of a deal this game was going to be and what, you know, matchups were going to be important. So I was already hyped up there. And then you watch the game on Monday Night Football, and it's this contest. Like, it was literally a one-upmanship deal where it's like, oh, can the Rams match what the Chiefs just did? Yes, boom, boom, boom. And it just kept going up and up and up, and you never knew which side was going to failed to answer, failed to respond first. And it was awesome. Like, that, the drama of that game was unreal. I can't watch old games now where I remember what happened or I know what happened. I would have to find, like, games before my time. You know what I mean? Like, really learning about, well, he's a bad example because I've seen a ton of stuff. But for people my age, it's like, you always hear the Bo Jackson's really, really good. Go watch Bo Jackson's stuff, like actual games, you know, and things that you haven't seen before. That's enough. I've got to admit, the new, like, trend, I get that you've got to air something. I don't have any beef with it at all. But there's no interest that on my end for watching old games that, like, aren't too old. Does that make sense? Like, games that I remember. Tyler, do you watch those?
I've gotten to the point, I think it was last weekend that I said this, I've gotten to the point where there are legitimately, and this isn't an exaggeration, there's legitimately two games that I would put on replay.
Okay.
That's it. Of every sporting event that has ever happened.
Okay.
And it's the 2017 Super Bowl.
Uh-huh.
And it's Game 5 of the 2008 World Series.
Okay.
Because I've gotten to the point where if I can't have live sports torture me, I am not going to torture myself with a game that already tortured me in the past.
Okay.
Because I'm not going to subject myself to the 2003 NFC title game where I watch the Eagles march down the field and kick a field goal to start the game and then not score another point the rest of the night.
Right.
I don't need that in my life.
Okay.
Too many bad things going on. I need good.
So what about watching like early 90s Eagles stuff? You know?
No, because here's my thing is I don't need to, at this point, I feel like I'm wasting my time.
Uh-huh.
Watching a game that has no consequence on the outcome of a championship.
I see. Okay.
The point where, like, watching Randall highlights is awesome. Because Randall was a machine. He was unreal. But I don't need to sit and watch a full game from the Eagles and Randall because it really doesn't do anything for me at this point.
See, I would totally agree with you were it not quarantine day 18. You know?
I think honestly, that's making it worse for me.
Really?
Yeah. Because now, it was like a luxury to watch an old game. It was like, hey, by the way, we've got some time. Oh, watch. Yo, hey, NFL Network's got the 2004 Super Bowl on. It's not the outcome that you wanted, but it's a fun game to watch.
Right.
Now it's all we have available.
Yeah, that's true.
And now I feel like it's being pushed down my throat. I don't need it anymore.
Well, I get that people need to fill the days. I understand that too, but there are lots of people that are putting it out and saying that this is either something that's getting them through, or like Tyler says, making it way, way worse. Interesting take, by the way, from a Twitter user on... a Twitter follower. Thank you, McCheese, on what's going on with the NFL right now. I'm going to read his take because I want to see what you guys think of it and if I'm looking at this NFL thing all wrong. 610-632-0975. It is the Joe Torti Show, hanging out until 10 o'clock. Tyler Zuli, hanging out until 10 right here on The Fanatic.
Joe Torti on 97.5 The Fanatic. The Fanatic.
Joe Torti Show, 97.5, The Fanatic, Tyler Zuli, and me, and you, hanging out until 10. Talking about the NFL statement that they anticipate the season starting on time. McCheese at Young Blockchain tweets in, you're reading this NFL statement about all wrong. All this is the NFL trying to keep interest at a peak for the draft and other activities. If people knew the season wasn't going to happen, their ratings would tank. They're putting on a happy face. I don't know. I have entertained the idea that this is a possibility, right? Like, for example, we've seen the Sixers and holding off on bad news about Ben Simmons until right after season ticket renewals and stuff like that. So, like, I get that people deliver bad news or good news selectively and at the right times and stuff like that. So it's totally a valid point. I just don't think that the NFL believes that, like, I do think that they think that they're above it or that there's enough time between now and then or whatever. I think that there might be a combination of a lot of reasons that the NFL believes that they will be able to go on as planned. Now, I would say that the biggest variable in this is starting out the season with fans. I would say that that's something that I'm willing to say that might not happen. But I don't think that the NFL is going to miss any games. I don't think they're going to miss preseason games. I don't think they're going to miss regular season games. They're going to miss OTAs and mini camps and stuff like that. And all of that is important to a degree. But it makes the teams that are more rookie-dependent worse, and the teams that are more veteran. There are some vets that have been training on their own for years now where maybe going into the facility will not be that big of an issue for them. I don't know what category the Eagles fall into because we're counting on wide receiver help and corner help and a lot of other things from the draft. But the Eagles do have the veterans in place when it comes to the quarterback, when it comes to the line, when it comes to the defensive line. There's a lot of pieces in place that the Eagles have where you'd feel pretty good about them going into the season, despite the fact that we're counting on a lot of rookie help. What do you make of what McCheese said, Tyler, about the NFL kind of using a smokescreen statement to tell people not to worry because the draft is coming up?
I think I'm somewhere in between you two. I don't believe it's a total smokescreen because I've been pretty adamant over the last couple of days, and this is coming from somebody that is, you know, your diehard college football fan. The NFL draft to me is like a holiday that they need to move the draft back. I do truly believe that. When it comes to the season, though, I don't think the season, the play of the season is not in jeopardy. It's the fans or not. I think that's really what's going to happen. I truly think that they are going to get things going by week one. If they don't play preseason, they don't play preseason. But I think they're going to get things going by week one.
Do you think that if they started the season with without fans, that they would end the season without fans? Or do you think that at some point during the NFL season between September and February, that they would at least start bringing people back in?
They're going to push to have fans as quickly as possible. I would not be shocked if they played more than half the season without the fans, just as a precautionary measure.
Mm-hmm.
We truly don't know how long this thing's going to go. And I would much rather them be safe than for have something to flare back up when it looks like we've got things kind of, you know, settled down and under control.
Totally understand. And I wonder what the, like I said, the NFL is not in the business of losing money. They're not going to do anything stupid that could result in them being sued, for example, right? So, like, I don't think that that's a likely outcome. But I do wonder if they will look at some kind of slow rollout where, you know, it's 1,000 fans at a time spread out throughout the stadium and 2,000. And, like I would bet that they think about some kind of graded integration system for fans, which I actually would approve of.
Where does the number come from, though? Like the increment, inclination
yeah.
of the players, if I could learn how to speak. where does that number sit in? You know, who determines, is it 1,000 at a time? Is it 5,000 at a time? Where do they sit? How far apart do they still have to be?
Well, so it would end up being, if, for example, we're using social distancing as a guide, right? You're selling as many tickets as it is people, whatever, 6 or 7 feet apart. I would say that you're probably having the concession stands and stuff closed still. And, you know, just counting on people to kind of police themselves when it comes to the bathroom. I don't know, though. But that's kind of what I would anticipate a scenario like that looks like. Because think if we have, just for round numbers, right? It would probably be more than this. Say that you have 1,000 fans at an NFL game scattered throughout the stadium. You're not making enough money on those concessions, I don't think, to have all of those concession stands open and
right.
Everybody and stuff
also,
like that.
Also, too, the question becomes, if it's 1,000 at a time, is it a random lottery system? Do the highest paid ticket holders go first? How do you determine who gets in?
Well, you'd have to do season ticket holders first, right? They'd have to. But most of
the people at the stadium are season ticket holders, are they not?
I don't think so. Do you think that most of the people are season ticket holders
at the Link?
Yeah,
I would bet you it's a good number of them.
Well, I agree that there would definitely be a good number. I don't know.
So, like, here's what I'll put it to your example here.
Yeah.
You know, my dad has season tickets. They're two rows from the top, right? They're way up there.
Yep.
I mean, they're expensive, but comparable to the seats down the bottom, they're not expensive at all.
Right, yes.
Who does that guy down the bottom get first dibs? Does my dad and that guy get put in the lottery together, and it's just like whomever? And then on top of that, he sits all the way up top, and if they're only putting 1,000 people in the stands, right, does he get bumped down to the lower bowl?
Right.
Do you have to sit in your seat so we social distance? Like, how does this whole thing work?
Definitely you'd have to sit in the seat, right? Like, I feel like that's an essential part of all of it. What I would anticipate is that those upper sections get blocked off, and you have, like, 1,000 people, but they're all spread out so that you have, like, I would think that.
Also, too, most people, I would imagine, go in groups, you know, at least two or three people.
Yeah.
Is it one person from is it the ticket buyer, or is it one person in the ticket group?
Right.
You know, there's so many factors to think
about. A lot of logistics, but I guess the question is, right, is it worth it for the NFL to jump through all of those hoops, or do one of the other two solutions, which is to say no fans or all fans are welcome? You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I think that in some cases we've seen that people don't respond well to the freedom to make their own choices when it comes to social distancing and stuff like that.
Well, and you made the good point with it being, how do you patrol when you go to the concessions, when
right.
you go to the bathroom, when you walk around the concourse, who's on the elevators and escalators together?
Uh-huh.
Is somebody there, you know, putting a hand up like a traffic guard? All right, 6 feet. You know what I mean?
Right.
There's a lot to get through.
A ton. But I think you'd agree, Tyler, it's something that's going to be addressed at some point. Like, I have a hard time believing that at some point there's just going to be like a rope drop, boop, and everybody's allowed back in the stadium.
Yeah, they're not going to theme park this.
Yeah, I don't think so. You know, so I think at some point, someone, and I would argue that the NFL is the best equipped for this, someone's going to have to start to figure out guidelines for whatever step one is for all of this. And that's why I kind of buy what they're saying, what their plans are, despite, you know, my understanding, as McCheese says, that there might not be a season, who knows, and they're just trying to keep interest up during the draft and their events and stuff like that. But, I mean, interest, they're already not doing fan events. Yeah, you want people to watch on television, I get that. But I don't know. Like, to me, I would look at it through the lens of the NFL believes that they're pretty close to an unstoppable force, I would think, when it comes to the season. They're not going to be stopped. And there's enough time between now, the start of April, and the start of the regular season that we'd have at least more clarity on the track and the progression and what the expected order of operations would be for all of these leagues to get fans back into the stands. Let's go to Charles in the Northeast next on the Fanatic. Hey, Charles.
How you doing, Joe?
Doing great. How are you today?
Doing great. Always great hearing you, Joe. This is a tough time and it's so unpredictable. I never thought something like this would happen in my life. If you would have told me a year ago or any number of years ago this would ever happen, I would have told you, you're crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you never would have ever thought this. But a couple of quick things, Joe. One, I agree with Tyler. I'm not getting into watching these old games. I mean, I saw the Villanova Georgetown game. I watched most of that, even though I've seen it a million times and I saw it live. The other game I probably watched the most was the Kansas City Rams game from a year ago, the 54-51 game.
Yes.
But except for that, I haven't gotten into it. They when Jimmy Rollins broke the hit record on Joe, and I'm like, what is this? Cubs at the Phillies 2014. Oh, Rollins broke the hit record. Watch maybe 5 minutes of it.
Right.
And no interest. I'm in the live. You know I love sports, Joe. I'm in the live games, no matter what the sport. I'll watch reruns of games, but like Tyler said, it's a supplement when you're watching live games. Like, I've been watching more movies. I mean, I've seen Casino again twice lately, The Blues Brothers, Slapshot twice. I mean, I've been watching that more than sports now. As for sports, I don't think the NBA and NHL are coming back, and I don't think they should come back. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think the health's most important. Listen, it's a shame for the Flyers. I think the Flyers were going to make a deep Stanley Cup run. I don't think the Sixers were going to make a deep run, but with the talent the Sixers had and Simmons came back, you never know. But I think you got to err on the side of caution. Now, I think baseball's going to be back, Joe, but I don't think you're going to see it till mid-June and July, and I think it's going to be really maybe with no fans or limited fans.
Mm-hmm.
I think the NFL is definitely coming back. I think you're going to see a full season in the NFL, but I agree with what you and Tyler said. I think there's going to be strict guidelines. I think there's going to be some fans in the stands, but I don't think there's going to be a lot. I think it's going to be maybe by a drawing. You're only going to see a few thousand, and they're going to be spread out. So I just think, I mean, it may be all gone by then, but the way we're going, we just don't know right now. But do I think the NFL is going to play? Yes. And I hear a lot of people, Joe, real final point, criticizing the NFL for going. I disagree with that. It gives us something to talk about. And they like they're having a gathering in Las Vegas like they were going to. They're just going to do it via computer, via Skype, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's fine. I mean, I think the NFL, let's face it. I mean, for sports guys like me, you, Tyler, and everybody who calls the station, I think we need something to talk about right now. And being able to talk about the Eagles and Howie Roseman, I mean, keeps us going a little bit, and the NFL. So I think it's a good thing.
Well, Charles, let me ask you this before I let you go. Would you be a fan of a setup where if they just started the playoffs for the NBA and the NHL, where they would screen all of the players and everything and then have all of the games take place at one neutral site and do it kind of tournament style just to have a champion in those sports? Would you be a fan of that kind of idea?
Me personally, I'd be a fan of it because, you know, I love sports. I would love to watch games. But as long as it's safe for the players, because even though you wouldn't have any fans, Joe, you don't know. A lot of NBA players and some executives have been diagnosed with this already.
Right.
So, yeah, I would want to see it. Obviously, I'm a sports fan. I'd love to see a conclusion in the NBA and the NHL season, but only if it's safe for all the players and their families and the executives who are going to be attending these games.
Charles, I think that's a very good way of looking at it. And thanks for the phone call. Hope you and your family are well. I've heard this idea more, and I'm warming up to this, that you get everybody, like you start the playoffs effectively, you know, you don't continue the regular season. And then whenever the test is made available more widely spread, I guess, you get everybody involved in the postseason tested, confirm, you know, that everybody who will be participating is either, you know, is negative, and then begin a tournament at a neutral site. I know that it's not what we would hope for the Flyers, obviously, hosting a playoff series and stuff like that, and, you know, playoff games, that'd be a lot of fun. But I think that I'd be more open to that. Just to get a winner. And just to get live sports back. 610-632-0975 is your phone number to join the conversation. Going to get to more of this on the other side. We're hanging out until 10 o'clock. Joe Torti, Tyler Zuli producing right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Joe Torti on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Welcome back to Joe Torti Show, 97.5 The Fanatic. Important clarification from earlier, Tyler Zuli's producing. You already knew that. That didn't need to be clarified. But the mayor of Toronto announced earlier that there were like no public gatherings or events or stuff like that until June 30th or something like that. Mayor Tory's office has subsequently issued a clarification that the Toronto ban announced today does not include sporting events, only city events and event permits only. Doesn't mean that sports are back or anything like that, but it means that they're not shut out there in Toronto. Good news. I think that's pretty cool. A couple of good tweets. We're going to get to them in a matter of moments here. But Tyler, first, and before we get to Drew, I wanted to get your thoughts on this idea of a quarantined tournament, wherein you determine that everyone is negative. Who's involved? You disqualify any individuals from the premises who have tested positive or have not been tested, and you just kind of do an in-house tournament to determine champions in the NBA and the NHL.
From a sports fan perspective, I am all for it. because I need something in my life, and any kind of tournament style, anything, I'll take at this point. From a human standpoint, I don't know, and I know that obviously from what we've seen from, you know, some of the teams that had some issues earlier, that NBA teams have a resource to get some of these tests. I don't know if I'm willing to give up valuable tests just for the sheer sake of NBA basketball.
Right. So the premise was that once this becomes more widely available, and supposedly
it would have to wait.
This 15-minute test that happened this week. Apparently there were huge breakthroughs there, and it's going to become much more available now. But you're right. Like, it rubbed me the wrong way, too, that like NBA players who were not going to be playing had access to this test, or executives, or whoever. It's not just about the players, but like the NBA, who's not going to be playing to begin with, had access to the test. Yeah, that struck me as odd too, Tyler. But provided that it did not put any undue strain on the ability of anyone who needed to get a test to get it, you'd be okay with it?
Yeah, I think so. And again, it would take the advancement of some ideas and some things put into, you know, tangible help before I was comfortable with it. But
right.
Sure, I mean, if this thing, if we start to get a grasp on this thing, then sure, I'd be okay with it.
Jasper also wants to know, you only named two games you're interested in watching because you don't want to see the Philly teams lose. What about the 74-75 Flyers Stanley Cup Finals or the 83 Sixers NBA Finals?
All right, so I probably an oversight on the 83 Sixers Finals, probably add that to the list.
Okay.
I don't care for television from the 74-75 Stanley Cup. I don't need to watch that. That's exactly the reason why. I don't need to watch staticky, blue-looking ice games to get my championship fill. I'm good.
Okay. Just watch the Super Bowl on loop.
It's yeah, you know why? Because it's in HD.
It's in HD.
I pay for HD. I'm getting my HD.
And you get, but it's not even in 4K, so I mean, you know. Got to get it upgraded.
One step at a time.
But yeah, that's exactly right. 610-632-0975. Let's go to Drew in Westchester next on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hey, Drew.
Hey, Joe. What's going on, my buddy?
Not too much. How about you?
I'm just, you know, doing the self-quarantine thing, man. Just trying to stay away from people. And
yes, sir.
Get on with our lives as best we can in this, you know, uncertainty. So I want to echo kind of basically what Tyler and you were both just saying about as far as, you know, if the seasons were to go on. I'm with you as far as the whole testing situation goes. I would rather prefer those testing and more medical needs go to people that need them instead of going to a sport that we just watch for enjoyment. So, you know, if that's, you know, a basis of whether this happens or not, then obviously I'm going to be unselfish and say I want that type of medical response to go to the people that need it most and not to just, you know, being selfish and saying, oh, I don't know, I want to watch sports just because, you know what I mean?
Sure, of course, absolutely.
But then the second says, so if we do, though, get a hold on this where we do, you know, have, you know, some type of way where we could maybe do a tournament type system with the NBA or basketball, with the hockey or basketball, I'm still not in favor of it, even if it does, you know, medically or everything clear at this point. I think it's gone too far. And I wouldn't see anything happening until May, probably closer to June, if anything. And I think at that point, you just got to call your losses and say, look, it's just a lost NBA and NBA or NHL season. Let's try to make the best we can with baseball, maybe, and then come back with a clean swipe with football, maybe. But I really don't think you can have a, you know, full season with basketball or hockey. And I would not be in favor of a neutral site tournament type of a deal.
Okay, but you do agree with, or at least you could see a scenario where the NFL, what they're saying is correct, that they're anticipating that they will have a full season?
I would think now at this point, but, you know, things change so quickly, Joe. I mean, you know, I didn't think they were going to extend this till April 30th, and now here we are. So, you know, give me another month before I can really answer that question educatedly.
Well, fair enough, Drew, because guess what? Not a whole lot's happening between now and then, so I'll have lots to think about it. All right, Drew,
buddy.
Stay well, man. Appreciate it. Yeah, I have no problem giving them the extra time to think about it, because that's what we're all going to be doing, just kind of sitting around. So I want to make sure that I understand, because there's just so much going on. Tyler, what officially has been extended till April 30th? Do you know? Like, what officially?
I don't want to say the wrong thing.
Neither do I.
Let me go back and find the actual legitimate facts. But I'm under the impression that it's everything that we've kind of been doing.
Like the social distancing.
Yeah.
And
so I'll go back and look the facts up for you, but
no, here it is on the Times. Oh, good. I don't have a an account. Yay. Apparently, the social distancing guidelines have been extended through April 30th, and a lot of governors and judges and people like that have also, in turn, extended stay-at-home orders over that same amount of time. So, there you go. More social distancing. So no Easter egg hunts. Or the best Easter egg hunts, because you will not be competing with anyone within, like, at least 6 feet of you. So that's pretty
good.
See,
there could be a problem, though.
Okay, I'm ready.
Because you're allowed to be in your home with each other, right? Your kids, your family, all that good stuff. I'm extremely happy that I'm an adult now, because I 1,000,000% guarantee you that the Easter egg hunt in the Zuli household, in a household that you can't really do it outside, would have guaranteed you turn into fisticuffs at some point.
You're full on brawling?
1,000,000%.
Oh,
mommy's
man.
Got more Easter eggs than me. Do better.
And then
the fist would have started flying.
Yeah, that advice would not have been well received.
No.
All right.
Tyler, let your brother have a couple eggs.
No.
No. I'm trying to win.
This is America. Capitalism. Get as much as you can. 610-632-0975. All right, so we're hanging out until 10. We're going to hear from some of the guests earlier on in the day. And I also, we didn't get to talk about this, and I apologize for not knowing. I am assuming that this got some coverage here on the station, but Tyler and Devon and I were going to talk about what Kirk Herbstreit said about college football and whether, you know, what the timeline looked like for that. I want to put that against kind of what the NFL is saying and seeing, you know, if there's anything to be read into at all from this. So we'll get to that and more next. 610-632-0975. It is the Joe Torti Show. Tyler Zuli producing. We're hanging out until 10 right here on 97.5, The Fanatic.